live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 12th day of November, 2025. Those of you who are longtime listeners to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, dating back to the old days, starting in 2005, when I was broadcasting out of WNYG and WGBB radio in Babylon, Long Island, are sure to remember a guest that I would have on fairly often, who has become a very dear friend. And it's been a long time since he's been on the program. In fact, I don't think he's been on since we relocated and relaunched the show in 2015 here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. But I am speaking of John Yenschko, who retired after 45 years of pastoral ministry in Pennsylvania and Long Island, New York, in the Presbyterian Church in America, which is also known as the PCA denomination. And today we are going to be addressing what I wish I knew when I started ministry. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, John Yenschko.
Chris, I'm so delighted to be with you again, and I treasure our friendship, and I thank God for the ministry of Iron Sharpens Iron, and I've been glad to follow it over these many years. Your listeners need to know that Long Island misses you, and we're always glad when you make your way back. One of the reasons is Long Island has so many diners. And somebody has to keep them in business. And Chris Arnson is known as a great foodie, and so the chefs just can't wait for him to set foot in those diners. Well, but what happens in those diners is magical, because Chris he builds up the saints. He ministers to people, and by his love and friendship, really does edify the brethren. And so we're always glad when you come back to Long Island, Chris.
Well, I appreciate that. And I believe the last time I saw you face to face was when I was instrumental in having you invited to be the keynote speaker at a fundraising banquet for Grace Christian Academy, the School of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, which was the church where I was a member for many years, going back to the 80s, formerly Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, which became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island after a merger with First Baptist in Merrick in 1995. But I was there, I was part of that family of believers since my salvation. But I believe that's the last time I saw you, is when I had you speak at that luncheon.
That's right. And, again, not to be obsequious, but one of your gifts, Chris, is the ability to connect people and to connect ministries together. And now you're doing it, of course, how did you say in your introduction, to every living person on the planet. But I really appreciate that about you. And that was a privilege for me to speak at that banquet.
And just out of curiosity, you probably have let me know this information years ago on the old Iron Sharpens Iron radio. But how did you come to enter into the Presbyterian Church in America? If I'm not mistaken, you before that were in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, correct?
That is correct. Although before that, I was converted in an evangelical United Presbyterian Church.
Wow.
Where the pastor was of the old school and really loved the Lord. And, he led me to Christ using Isaiah chapter 6. You know, as we talked, here I was, not very bright, 17-year-old or 18-year-old, I forget exactly what, but as we talked, he said to me, John, you appreciate the power of God and the wisdom of God, but you don't understand the holiness of God. And so he said to me, he said to me, have you ever read Isaiah 6? And I said, I never heard of it.
Huh.
So he opens his Bible and he starts reading. You know the story, your listeners know it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And as Isaiah looks, the veil is pulled back and he sees the seraphim flying around the throne, and day and night they never stop crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I'm sitting there as he's reading this. And, you know, there was no thunderbolts or anything, but the Holy Spirit just began to show me the purity and the power and the holiness, the transcendence and the perfection of the living God. And then he reads how the cry of Isaiah, woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And as he said that, the Lord graciously showed me all of my selfishness and my arrogance and my greed and lust, and again, that massive self-preoccupation that is the center of the fallen human nature. And I was so convicted. And so he keeps on reading. And, the Lord, Isaiah is undone. I'm just sitting there, slowly being undone. And then the Lord sends the angel to get a coal from the altar. And he reads, and with it he came and touched my lips and says, behold, your sin is atoned for. And I stopped. My heart was racing and then it stopped. And my friend, this pastor, wonderful man named Hubert Braun, he said, do you know what that coal is? And I said, what? He said, in the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament points forward to the work of Christ, and there are types and shadows. There are prefigurings of the work of Christ, and that coal is the cross of Jesus Christ, where the justice of God and the mercy of God came together, and sin is atoned for. For you, John, and you are called today to cast yourself upon him and to receive him. If that is the desire of your heart, it shows that God's word is effectual and it's call of you. And he said, would you like to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior and claim the cross as your vehicle of salvation before God? And, you know, like I said, there are no trumpets or lightning bolts, but I just know that that was when I passed from death to life. And, I was converted, came into that church, and even came under the care of the presbytery until I received the left foot of fellowship.
Huh.
When, I was then, long story short, I was by then a student several years later at Westminster Theological Seminary. And the Pittsburgh Presbytery of the PCUSA was very liberal, and they asked me to leave there. I said, I think not. And so, now actually, I'm ahead of myself. Student at the University of Virginia, having been accepted to Westminster Theological Seminary. And they asked me not to go there, to go to one of some other seminary. And I became a member of the PCA in Charlottesville, Virginia. And then while I was at Westminster, I joined New Life Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And it was there that I came under care of their presbytery and was ordained at New Life Presbyterian Church in the OPC. Oh, what a great, great days those were. Such a wonderful, wonderful Christian denomination. Realign into the PCA, and that was wonderful as well. We had hoped there would be a joining in the two denominations, but in God's providence, that did not come to pass. But we had many great friends, still do to this day, in the OPC, and I'm now honorably retired decades later, and my credentials are with the Tidewater Presbytery Green Church in America, because I relocated to the Virginia Beach area.
Well, one of the things that I want to discuss with you today is a personal mission to know Christ and make him known, as we read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Tell us about that.
Sure. You know, when I spend time with younger pastors, I often get asked, what do you, when you first started in ministry, one of the first things I say to them, how crucial it is to have a sense of a personal ministry that goes deep into your ministry, personal mission is, and to make him known. That's not original with me, of course. Many Christian organizations have had this. But as a young believer, I remember reading, somebody quoting, and then I took to heart 9, verse 24. And it says this, let him who boasts, no, it starts out in verse 23. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. But let him who boasts, boast in this, and know. That was taken, you know, great intellectuals, wealthy people, relatively speaking, in the United States of America, and strong people. And the Lord says, that's not what I value. What I value is someone who understands and knows me. And then the New Testament fulfillment of that, of course, comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, where the Apostle Paul, one of the most beautiful missionary figures, church planters, preachers, theologians that we know, the Apostle Paul said, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the Lord took that and put that in my heart so deeply. And I came to discover, and it's my deep desire for all young pastors, I came to discover that you can know information about any subject in particular, but you can know the information, but but that's not the same. Like you could know my dad, who's now passed away. My dad was 5'10" and he was an engineer and he was an inventor and he was married. You could know things about him, but you couldn't know my father the way I knew him personally and intimately. And I came to discover that what Jeremiah 9 was saying, what the Apostle Paul was saying, is that you have to have more than just information about Jesus Christ and his work. But you have to move from taking that information to meditation on that information. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? And what did he do for us, particularly on the cross? And you can know that a man died and was unjustly murdered and hung on a cross at the hands of the Romans with the displeasure on his head from the Sanhedrin. You could know those things, those facts, but you need to meditate on them. And you need to come to understand, well, this is the fulfillment of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh my, this is the place where justice and mercy meet. And though the wages of sin is death, since Jesus never sinned, death could not hold him, and he rose again from the dead. And you could meditate on those things, and it could even thrill your soul that they are true. But it's not until you contemplate those things and you say, Jesus died for me, that Jesus died for those that he came to save. Atonement. It's not until you come to the place where you know that he lived, should have lived, and died the death you deserve to die. Place. When you're, just because we met in a few of those diners, Chris Arnes and the foodie, he could go to that diner in Massapequa and he could see the picture of the Reuben sandwich, right? And it's piled high with pastrami, and there's the sauerkraut on top, and there's two layers of Swiss cheese melted, bubbling hot on top with Russian dressing and well-marbled rye bread. You could see the picture of it and read about it in the menu. But when do you know that it's the best Reuben sandwich on Long Island? When you've taken that bite, when you have tasted. And wasn't it Jonathan Edwards, I think, who said, you can know that honey is sweet, right? You can understand the chemistry of sugar, and you can understand the biology of taste buds. You can know that honey is sweet, but you don't really know that honey is sweet until you taste honey. And King David, what do we have recorded of his in Psalm 27, verse 4? Your listeners all, I'm sure, know that verse where he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I fear that many young men have sometimes not spent enough time. Oh, they get the information and they even do the meditation. But have they come to that place where they have tasted and seen that the Lord is good? That Jesus is the manna that came down from heaven that gives life to the world? Have they drunk deeply from the river of life that Jesus speaks about? He says, he who believes in me, from him shall flow rivers of living water. And we need pastors who not only can slice up the bread, but they have tasted the bread and they have drunk deeply from the wells of salvation. And out of that, that is then their mission, to know Christ. And you can't help but then make him known. And your life is catapulted forward to tell others about Jesus and to mobilize evangelism and to participate in the mission of Christ and in the expansion of his kingdom because you have come to know him intimately. Does that make sense, Chris?
Yes, it does. In fact, I'm going to go to our first commercial break because I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to cut you off mid-sentence when that time comes. And so if anybody would like to join us with a question, especially if you're a man considering the ministry or you're already in it, and you do have some questions for a learned brother who has spent 45 years in the pastoral ministry, send us an email to chrisarnsen@gmail.com. chrisarnsen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we'll be right back after these messages, so do not go away.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Pastor Keith Dave Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they automatically every single month provide financial support for the program, but on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. So with Christmas coming up, please bless someone in your life with a gorgeous piece of jewelry. And on top of that, help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air even longer through that 100% profits that we will be receiving after you make your purchase from RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RoyalDiadem.com, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with John Yenschko, and he is providing pastoral counsel and advice as a man who has retired after 45 years in pastoral ministry, starting with the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and spending most of his time with the Presbyterian Church in America. And if you do have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. And I know, Pastor John, that you believe that prayer is an extremely important aspect of entering into pastoral ministry and maintaining a life of pastoral ministry. And if you could pick up on that.
Chris, I'd be glad to do that, because it's so interesting that when you read in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 4, you have the apostles saying, we really need deacons to help us out. And then they say something fascinating. They say, and we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And as men go into the ministry, we love to devote ourselves to the ministry of the word. And we spend great effort and energy learning hermeneutics, learning the original languages, learning and memorizing large portions of the English Bible. And we love to craft messages and instruction to people so that they can take God's word into their hearts and learn it so well. And boy, isn't that a wonderful, wonderful part of being set apart for the gospel ministry. But notice, the apostle said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And which comes first? And in my experience, having been alongside many pastors, it is the prayer life that flags, that suffers. And in my own life, over the decades, there have been seasons where my prayer life was somehow thin and had devolved into a kind of checklist of spiritual words And, you know, I don't say that with pride, but rather with shame, that as the old song goes, my eyes become dry and my heart becomes cold. My prayers become old. So I have learned fairly early on that I was to go beyond mere maintenance praying and developed a commitment over the next several decades to be engaged personally and to lead the church in what we call kingdom-centered, frontline, prevailing prayer. And of many young men that I've helped disciple in ministry, and I don't take credit for all the good things that they've done. God gets all the glory. I've always wanted to teach men to engage in kingdom-centered, frontline, prevailing prayer. And when we say kingdom-centered, again, it's praying for God's agenda in this world and for God's purposes for the church. And to say, as Jesus taught us, thy kingdom come. You know, what does it look like? Well, it looks like we pray for the lost. We pray for those who seem to be headed to a Christless eternity. We pray that God would expand his kingdom by reaching people that are like us and unlike us. And so there's this kingdom agenda. We pray for missionaries all over the world. And we pray for our children, that the circle in our families would be unbroken, right? And we pray for the fulfillment of the Great Commission around the world, that God would be glorified. It's a kingdom-centered praying. You know, I've been in prayer meetings where somebody says, well, you know, we need to pray for my barber's niece's husband who has a bunion on his foot that's going to have surgery. Well, okay, that's nice, and we'll remember him. Or we need to pray for, you know, just regular maintenance things. And those are maintenance prayer meetings. We want kingdom-centered prayer meetings where at least what we pray for is catapulted forward by the agenda of God's word for his kingdom to come. And then it's frontline praying. And by that, Paul the Apostle would pray for people who were far away from him as if he was right alongside them. Now, Chris, do you actually expect your listeners in South Africa to pray all the way across the Atlantic Ocean and deep into the North American continent to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, to be alongside you in the Ministry of Iron Sharpens Iron? Can somebody really do that in South Africa?
Yes, and they do that. They let me know that.
I know. And that's beautiful. That's frontline praying. And when we in our church, and even though I'm retired, I'm involved in helping a church plant, and I help lead the prayer meeting. When we hear of persecution breaking out in China, for example, and some wonderful reformed pastors, men trained at Westminster Seminary, and when we hear of them being arrested and sent to labor camps, and their churches are under the heel of the Communist Party of China, what do we do? We pray for them, and we come alongside them in prayer. Oh, God, have mercy upon them and give them strength. It's as though we're on the front line. And maybe some of your listeners have prodigal children who have walked away, have moved away. What do we do? We come alongside those parents. Say their child has migrated to California. Well, we go to California in prayer, and we pray for their prodigal children. You see, that's frontline praying. We pray for people in hospitals, people going through trials, and you stay informed. So anyway, that's frontline praying. And then prevailing prayer. And I think about the prayer meetings of the church. We keep our lists. I have a friend, his name is Bob, and he was in the Westminster Seminary community. Bob had dozens of books of prayer journals, and he would write down all his prayer requests, which is great. But guess what Bob did? What he did was, when those prayers were answered, a month later, a year later, a decade later, Bob would go back and write down the answer to the prayer, expressing thanks to the Lord. And he was engaged in prevailing prayer. And that, you know, the story of Jesus telling us about that widow, right? And she knocked and she knocked and she knocked. And so we must prevail in prayer with people. And there needs to be faith and expectancy. I fear that there are people who go to prayer meetings, but they don't really believe that God is going to answer. Now, I'm not talking about that sort of nonsensical name it and claim it kind of thing where you boss God around and call that faith. I'm not talking about, Chris, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. But Jesus says in Matthew 18, I think it's verse 19 or 20, where he says, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And young pastor, when you pray, you should pray believing and knowing that Christ is at your side. Christ has somehow brought you all to the throne room and is interceding in his great work of session on your behalf. And you believe, and Revelation chapter 5, is it verse 8, it says that the prayers of the saints rise up as incense before the throne of God, and then believe that the answers are hurled back on the earth, because that's what the book of Revelation says happens to your prayers, so offered to the throne through Jesus. Faith and expectancy. So I hope that makes sense to you, Chris. O. Halsby, the Norwegian writer, pastor, he says, prayer is the breath of the soul. And so I would say to myself as a young pastor, and I would say to my colleagues who are young and just beginning in ministry, your soul needs to breathe in the daily rhythms of prayer, and your church needs to breathe in the weekly repetitive vision, not mission of prayer. Every church needs a praying pastor, and every pastor needs a praying church. Isn't that true?
Amen, and that's beautifully said. There are two twin evils who are polar opposite evils that play tug of war with pastors. They play tug of war with Christians in general, but the twin evils are being crazy busy and being lazy. Tell us, and especially to the young ministers or those contemplating prayerfully entering into ministry, how to ward off those dual temptations.
Well, that's very insightful, Chris. You know, I do know from being alongside pastors, you talk to a guy, how you doing? And he says, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I'm just so busy. I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And which, by the way, is very interesting. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No, I haven't.
Have you ever
seen it? I've heard about it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, somehow the kinetic energy, you chop off the chicken's head and he runs around the yard for a little bit. And you hear him and all that he's doing. And then you meet the guy and you know him. You know, he goes to the coffee shop and Starbucks, and he hangs out at Starbucks, and he reads magazines, and he listens to podcasts, and He has one or two appointments a week. He goes to the gym, works out, and basically lazy. And the problem for both of them is the same. Neither one knows what they're supposed to be doing. Neither one of them has that deep sense of gospel-driven ministry that moves them forward in their ministry so that they can say no to the things they don't need to be doing. And they get energized to get off their keister and to get going, making appointments and going out to do evangelism or engage in discipleship or in preparation for Sunday worship and the delivery of the word and to engaging in prayer. And you understand they need that center of gospel-centered ministry. And I don't want to reiterate all that I said about knowing Christ, but unless there is this sweet compulsion inside you of knowing the joy of knowing Jesus and wanting him to get glory both in your life and in your church, then you're just going to engage in all kinds of busyness and traditions and maintenance stuff, or you're going to flatten out. Jack Miller, who was a mentor to me, he says, "The gospel of the cross and the resurrection must do more than just sit on the surface of our minds." He says it must have control of our character and our emotions and get into the depths of our souls until it is the dominant power in our lives. And he quotes Charles Spurgeon. Have you heard of Charles Spurgeon, Chris?
Yes, of course.
As Spurgeon wrote this, Spurgeon wrote, "Personally, to me, the gospel is something more than just a matter of faith. It has so mingled with my being as to be a part of my consciousness, an integral part of my mind, never to be removed from me." And some young men in the ministry, they study the life of Spurgeon and Whitfield, and they say things like, "Wow, those men really mastered the gospel." And I shake my head and I say to them, "No, Whitfield and Spurgeon did not master the gospel. They were mastered by the gospel."
Amen.
And I have to ask, does that describe us? Because it's only when the gospel burns into our souls that our fears begin to dissipate. Listen, I was a pastor long enough to know there's a lot of fear in ministry. What am I talking about? Fear of man, the opinions of man, fear of the future, fear of failure. And I think those are fiery, terrible, fiery darts that the devil shoots at men in the ministry. And we have the shield of faith, but it's not a kind of thin shield. The shield of faith is faith that unites us to Christ deeply in our hearts so that it burns away our self-centered fears. And we become, we're weak in ourselves, but we become strong in the gospel. You see, Spurgeon and Whitfield, they would say, they were weak in and of themselves, but strong in the Lord. Weak, strong men in the gospel. And that then frees you up from just busyness, and it catapults you out of laziness. Does that make sense? That's what I try and help to do to orient young men in the ministry.
Yes, and one thing that comes to mind when you are talking about the workaholics who are in pastoral ministry, that can do incalculable damage to the marriages and families of pastors, mm-hmm. and that, of course, would have a trickle-down effect to the congregation. There was a very globally known and beloved televangelist who I won't mention. He has passed on now. Very well-known author and so on. But his wife filed for divorce when they were in their 70s at least, which was pretty amazing that you would think somebody would just stick it out for the remainder of their life, no matter what kind of difficulties they were having. But when asked, when the wife was asked, why are you divorcing your husband? She said, he has another lover, his job. And she really, or should I say, he proved that she was right, because this man never even stepped down temporarily to save his marriage. Not even for a season did he step down. So that is a more important thing than people may realize, because they might think being crazy busy and a workaholic is nothing but a positive thing or a noble thing, but it can be devastating, yeah. Can it?
Yeah, it can be. And I know that from firsthand experience, because I suppose people would say I'm task-oriented, type A, metric. I pay attention to what's going on, and I love to read and meet, and I'm extroverted. And it is possible. I just on a practical level, I knew that the Lord wanted me, this may not be true for everyone, but he wanted me home every evening from 4:30 to 6:30 every night to help feed the kids, to help play with them, to color, to sing songs, to have family commotions. I mean, you know what I mean.
Devotions, I believe you meant.
Oh, that's it. That's what I meant. Family devotions. And then if I had evening meetings, which I didn't have every night, by that time, my wife had a break. I even washed the dishes with the kids, and have a great family time. And I was free to leave my study. I was free to be home with the family during those periods, and to coach my kids' sports teams when I was able to do that, and to teach them how to sing and to worship the Lord. Anyway, that's also very crucial for any young pastor to hear. I'm really glad you brought that up, Chris. It's so, so important.
And we have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, we do have some people waiting for their questions to be asked and answered, but I'm going to wait till the last segment of the show to take your questions. But if you would like to get in line and have your question asked and answered on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Armson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Armson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
When
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order. Welcome back. Before I return to my fascinating conversation with John Yenschko and his counsel to young men in the ministry or those who are contemplating entering into the ministry, after 45 years of service to the body of Christ as a pastor, before I return to that conversation, I want to remind my listeners, please, if you are able to help us financially, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio really needs your help because, as many of you will know if you listen regularly, we've lost two of our largest advertisers, one of which was Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, which closed its doors permanently several weeks ago after 50 years of serving the body of Christ with the finest in Christian literature at reasonable prices. They are no longer supporting us because they had to close their doors. And another very large sponsor is no longer helping us, and there's a third one possibly on the way. We really need you to help us replenish and replace that lost income. So if you love the show, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, or if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm, medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Now, after all of that urgent pleading for financial help, there's two things I want you to always remember. I never want any of my listeners giving your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. In other words, never cut in to the financial resources that you have set aside specifically for your Lord's Day giving to your own church. Never cut into those finances in order to bless us. Also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes,
Well, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and want us to continue to exist. Go to IronTruppensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you because I've helped people spanning the globe in the Iron Trip and Zion Radio audience find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. If you're without a church home, no matter where you live in the world, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Pastor John Yenchko. Please give us, as always, your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. Give us some practical advice, if you could, Pastor John, about cultivating a worshiping church.
Well, one thing that I would say right at the start, in particular to young pastors, is that as we want a worshiping community, you need to be the lead worshiper. And, you know, we even have terms like a worship leader on a church staff, but I don't like that term, worship leader. I much prefer lead worshipers. And that speaks for itself, doesn't it? That pastors need to model for their congregation in the singing of the praises of God vigorously with their whole heart, and in the earnestness of their praying, and in the tears of repentance and in confession of sin, and in the expression of joy that comes in remembering the great work that Christ has done, and in the greedy hunger to feed on the Lord in the Lord's Supper. As Calvin says, we affirm the real spiritual presence of Christ as we partake together and as he ministers to you. And all that is to say, first of all, if you're going to be a pastor, or you're considering the ministry, you need to be a lead worshiper in your own church, in your own family. You say, oh, yes, of course. But I've been in churches, I have to say, where the pastor seems distracted, where he is not so engaged as a lead worshiper. And I think that's very important. But in order to set the context, Chris, one thing, if I might, is a young man going into the ministry needs to be able to envision the whole calling of the church. And I'm sure any seasoned pastor would agree with this. But I've put it like this. Some people will say, I like Church A, because when I go to Church A, they worship God at Church A. Why, you go into Church A and the organ is great, or the band is great, and the musical presence is overwhelming, and the preacher thunders down from the pulpit, and it's like you hear God speaking, and you get your glory bumps, and then you walk out the door, and you're gone for the week. And that's it. And of course, nobody knows each other at Church A. They just all go for the event. But I don't criticize church. I mean, those people at Church A, they worship God. And didn't Jesus say in John chapter 4, the Father seeks worshipers? Somebody else says, nah, me, I like Church B. Because at Church B, they love each other. And boy, you sense in the life of Church B, they bear each other's burdens. They know each other's names. Their children are safe in each other's homes. when someone in the church loses a job, that their small group, they have these things called small groups where they get together in the midweek to encourage and pray and study God's word together. And their small group will pay their rent for a month or two till they get back on their feet. And they rejoice with each other and they weep with each other. And now, of course, the Sunday services are a bit psychologized and it's all about relational dynamics when they preach. And it's hard to break into Church B because at Church B, they're kind of a cliquish, but they love each other at Church B. And didn't Jesus say, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another"? By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And at Church B, they love one another. Somebody else says, "Me, I like Church C because over at Church C, they are a bunch of soul winners. They are on fire to get the gospel out to the lost. And everybody knows how to give their own testimony. They are trained how to share their own personal story of salvation. And they all know how to open their Bible and go down the Romans road and show people from God's word how to become a Christian. And every Sunday, they have an altar call. Of course, that's what every Sunday is. It's just a setup for an altar call. But they have missionaries who go out from their church and they actually support them. It's really beautiful. And didn't Jesus say in his last words before he ascended to heaven, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth"? And boy, those people at Church C are his witnesses. Now, Chris, that's a caricature, all right? That's a caricature of three different churches. But for one reason or another, sometimes churches seem to develop along one of those three lines. And it seems to me that if we follow the whole counsel of God, we as shepherds and pastors and as leaders in the church must insist that we be a worshiping community, a nurturing community, a missionary and missional community, that we cultivate an upward face toward God in worship. We cultivate an outward face toward the world in mercy and evangelism and missions, and we cultivate an inward face toward one another of love and mercy and forgiveness, and nurture, and edification. And all three faces are necessary for the wise pastor to cultivate in his personal leadership, by example, of course, and also among the elders of the church, and in the wider church, the presbytery, or the association of which he is a part. Does that make sense, Chris?
Yes, it does. And one of the things that I've noticed over my decades as a born-again believer, especially working in Christian media and meeting a whole spectrum of professing Christians, there seems to be confusion over what worship actually means. My friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, has said how much it grieves him when sometimes he's invited to a church to speak, and either the pastor or whoever is hosting the evening will say something like, after the opening hymns or songs of praise are sung, the person will say from the podium, "And now that our portion of worship has concluded, we will now hear the preaching of Dr. James R. White." As if worship does not include the preaching of the gospel, which is really the primary part of the worship service.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right about that. That I remember hearing Dr. Edmund Clowney, who was the president of Westminster Theological Seminary for many years, and he would speak about doxological preaching, that the sermons themselves were offerings to God of praise. And I think that sometimes comes from a failure to be Christocentric and doxological, and the lapsing into moralism, and where we just stand up and wag our bony finger at the congregation and say, try harder, be nicer, rather than leading them to the Lord, who is the agent of change in our lives. So, yeah, good for Dr. White. Boy, isn't he a blessing. I'm so glad you continue to promote him. I just off parenthetically, I just listened to his debate with Bart Ehrman, which I guess was a couple of years ago, and I just found that so helpful, as the one fellow was seeking to do vandalism to the scriptures, and Dr. White was able to not only rebut what he had to say, but to clarify and reassure people on the reliability of God's word for us. So that's just great. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that one important word of counsel you have to young men entering into ministry or who are already serving in that role, it may sound strange. I'm sure it does sound strange to many people at the outset, but you are compelling men to lead out of weakness. And please explain that, because that may be totally bizarre to most of our listeners today.
Well, Chris, you're right about that. But let me just go back historically and then maybe bring it to the modern time. Let's go back to Spurgeon and Whitfield and Luther, and to some extent, Calvin. What you see is the crucial dynamic of their life was the way they related to the gospel. And they did not relate to the gospel as strong, self-sufficient people. Again, to quote myself from earlier, they did not come as those who mastered the gospel. They came as those who were mastered by the gospel. And so you have Luther saying that the Christian life is a race of repentance. Well, what does that mean? To repent means I need to turn and return. Oh, somebody says, well, I did that 40 years ago when I walked the aisle. At the church, I repented. But we say, no, you didn't just repent once. Every day in our life, as we apprehend the holiness of God, and as the Holy Spirit graciously convicts us of our sin, let's be honest, Calvin was less than flattering. I'm sure he was not just speaking of Chris Arnzen and John Jentschko when he said, our hearts can be dull and stupid. Now, I don't know if that's true of Chris Arnzen, but I know that's true of John Jentschko. And of our listening audience, the Christian life is one of acknowledging we are weak, but he is strong. Oh, maybe I'll write that in the children's hymn. Because we are weak. We need wisdom. We need his righteousness, both imputed to us, because our best deeds done in the flesh are like filthy rags. And we need his righteousness infused into us. In my flesh, and again, I don't enjoy saying this to your listeners, but in my flesh, I am aware of my selfishness. I become aware of my stinginess. I become aware of my pride, my desperate desire to promote my reputation, even at the expense of others or in exaggeration, But at its root, there is pride, my love of comfort. These things, and these things are there. But in our flesh, we are either in denial, we are dull, or in our pride, we become stupid. And so what do we have to do? We have to confess it. What? The pastor at prayer meeting is going to, before the people, humble himself and say, Lord, I have been dull of heart. I have been foolish. I have been selfish. And I turn, I repent, I come again to you, and I ask you to restore to me the joy of your salvation. And it leads you to embrace the beauty of the terrible cross, the beauty of the ugly cross, where you had to die for me. And it's not manipulative, but the pastor then models for his church his own desperate need for Christ. And friends, that is appealing to other fellow sinners and others on the journey of the race of repentance. For me to come to the Lord, which king was it? Was it Hezekiah? Forgive me, I can't remember off the top of my head, who said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And maybe one of your listeners will type that in and say, hey, Yenchko, it's this passage, it's this king. But I remember the statement, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. God wants to awaken us out of our dryness. But to do that, we have to come thirsty. We have to come hungry to the Lord. If you look at John chapter 7, I'm actually going to turn there right now in my Bible. In John chapter 7, you have this place where Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And the promise in verse 38 is, whoever believes in me is in this, it's not, the present tense in Greek is not just like the present tense in English. It is, in that Greek tense, it's linear. It's ongoing. It's expressing habitual, continuous, present activity. So Jesus is saying the abundance of the Spirit is for those who are believing now and who keep right on believing. Not yesterday's faith, it's today's faith. And that's what people need from their pastor, repentance and faith, so that they can learn to live a life of repentance and faith. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Let's go. And then we're willing to take risks for Christ. Hey, when you started Iron Sharpens Iron all those years ago, 20 years ago or so, you took a risk. But we're all glad that you did, Chris. You took a risk. Jack Miller, again, I just quote him because he was so helpful. I think the epilogue to his great book, Outgrowing the Ingrown Church, was risk or rust. And that before you take that risk, there needs to be a humbling. There needs to be a centering, a focus, again, on the kingdom of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you seek first his kingdom, then all these things will be added to you. So, are you wise? Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Are you strong physically? Don't boast in your strength. Are you rich? I'm happy for you. It's better to be rich than poor, I guess, but don't boast in your riches. What should you boast in? that you understand and know Jesus. Now, contemporary. I now live toward the south down in Virginia, but I was a northerner for many years, and I was on Long Island for a long time. And you know what Long Island is, Chris? It's Strong Island.
Yeah.
On Long Island, never let them see a sweat. The culture on Long Island, how you doing? What's the answer? What's the only answer? Never better. And so ministry out of weakness does not play well on Long Island. Or let's say you're in Asia and you live in a, well, let's be frank, and my church in, we were so blessed on Long Island, but we had a large contingent of Asians, a large contingent of Latinos, a large contingent of Brazilians, Eastern Europeans, and as well as Caucasians. But in the Asian world, there it is it's an honor and shame culture. And to admit weakness is to lose face. And so this doesn't play well in that culture. You know, the last thing you want to do is to acknowledge your weakness. And yet, God bless the many of the wonderful Asian Christians who did get a hold of this and who do get a hold of this and who have learned to humble themselves under God's mighty hand, right? That's what we're commanded to do many times in Scripture. And they get beyond the cultural impediment and learn how to cry out, I am weak, I am sinful, I am in need, O Lord, I come with an open hand. Yeah, that's what it means to lead from weakness and to be honest about it. So, I mean, I'll stop there, but does that make sense to you, Chris?
Yes, it does. And by the way, one of our listeners, just as you summoned one to clarify who was the author of that prayer you cited, Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, sent in a note that was Jehoshaphat's prayer in 2 Chronicles 20:12.
Yes, thank you. Is it Cindy? Thank you so much. Jehoshaphat, good for Jehoshaphat. Because he has modeled for me a prayer that I have had to pray many times, of course.
And before we go to the final break, I want you to enter into exactly what you mean by pastors leading with grace and grit.
Okay. Shall I do that after your commercial break, or
you could start explaining that now, and maybe you'll have.
Sure.
We have 10 minutes on this one.
Okay, let's do that. When I talk to myself, and I've needed this for all 40 years. I've needed to us to know how. That if God has been gracious to me, I need to learn how to express what it means to be gracious to other people. Even people, maybe even who have wronged me or who annoy me. And we take such umbrage and are so easily annoyed. But, oh my goodness, if Jesus treated me ungraciously every time I was annoying to him, and where would I be? I'd be a cinder, I guess. So once we have experienced grace, and let me just that wonderful Old Testament scholar Meredith Klein, the Orthodox Presbyterian scholar, Orthodox Presbyterian minister.
My favorite female scholar. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, right. You're hilarious. funny like a wart. Anyway.
Next to Lorraine Bettner.
So Klein, he defines grace as blessing given where demerit is deserved. It's not just unmerited favor, but it's blessing, rich blessing given where and when demerit is deserved. Oh, my goodness. That's that having experienced that kind of grace, the Lord, the high priest who has loved us, who has sympathized with us in our weakness. Remember in Hebrews 4, it says he sympathizes us with our weakness. If he has that kind of sympathy and tenderness towards us, then we need to reflect that in the way we interact with other people. It's so funny. It's all the rage these days to talk about emotional intelligence, right? For decades, they talked about IQ, and now it's hot to talk about EQ, with emotional intelligence. When the Bible has been talking about EQ, or what Ken Sandy calls relational wisdom, ever since Cain screwed up with Abel, the Bible has been calling us to repentance and how we interact with others, not to be sinful, but to be loving. Anyway, what does it mean to lead with grace? It means to lead with humility. Isn't it amazing? When we say we follow the King, we follow the humble King. There's an oxymoron for you. What morons can you think of, Chris? The jumbo shrimp, right?
Just don't say Reformed Baptist.
Hey, I'm a good Presbyterian. It was on the tip of my tongue. I won't say that. Jesus is the humble King. Read Philippians 2. He leaves glory, enters into the misery of this world, humbles himself, becomes a servant, slave to all. He humbles himself. And so, when people give reports about us, do they say, he's a humble man? Do they note that virtue? In a kind of openness where people feel safe coming to you. They feel as though they can be heard because you listen. They feel loved in your presence. To lead with grace is to be able to admit mistakes. It's to welcome feedback. That's right. And boy, oh boy, is that hard to do as pastors? Yeah. Now, it's true. We have a lot of people in our congregations who have the spiritual gift of criticism. That's not the best thing in the world. But nonetheless, when your well-intentioned dragons, to coin a phrase, Tom, are you able to say, well, okay, let me take under advisement, what you're saying, to welcome feedback from a posture of humility and gentleness? And the reason that we say these things are crucial is because the Bible commands it. In Colossians 3, for example, Colossians 3, 12 through 17, says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving whatever grievances you have. Forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. And it goes on, I believe, it says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in unity. Now, that's not optional. He commands all Christians, but I would only say pastors in particular. He says, put these things on, put them on, which requires, since I'm arrogant, I've already confessed, I'm arrogant, stingy, and have too much love of comfort. So I need to repent of those things so I can put on humility and patience and kindness and forgiveness and love. That's what it means to lead with grace. And, you know, it's not good that people report these pastors are harsh, these pastors are arrogant, these pastors are they won't listen. They know it all. And we don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I want to be myself teachable and always growing. So that's grace, leading with grace. Always saying, well, let's go to Christ together. You know, let's go to Christ about this together and go to prayer. Now, grit is leading with courage. I forget where I got this list, but I jotted down a few words and just a few passages of scripture. And on my 10 minutes, maybe I'm up on that, but leading with courage, leading with conscientiousness, leading with perseverance, leading with resilience, leading with passion. And you remember Joshua 1 verse 9, be strong and courageous, as Moses commissions Joshua. Every young man who has trepidation about going into the ministry, we would say, as you are filled with God's Spirit and as you are in union with Christ, be strong and courageous. Have courage in a hostile world. There's a lot of fear out there. So people look to their pastor to be a man of courage. In terms of being conscientious, well, in Acts chapter 24, you have this statement near the end of the ministry of Paul. I'm turning there right now. Acts 24, verse 16. We read, here we go. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. And this is where we spend time in our study. By the way, your our mutual friend Bill Shishko, he's always telling men, don't call it your church office. It's your study. Yes, Bill. Yes, Bill, you're right, Bill. Take time to bring your conscience to the Lord. You know, where am I struggling, Lord? Who might I have hurt? Who do I need to make amends with? How can I make sure in this upcoming meeting as we go into it, I come in with humility, yes, courage, but I also come in with a clear kingdom-centered agenda. That's to be conscientious before God and man. And then the book of James speaks of perseverance. And, you know, our life here in the United States is much easier than it is for those who lead churches in China or Iran or Cuba right now. And our hearts go out to those brothers and sisters who serve there in that part of the world. They need to persevere, and they do. You know, who did we read about recently who has come out of prison after like 8 or 9 years of hard labor? And he's come out on the other side being faithful to Christ? Good heavens, I can hardly wait in line at the grocery store for 10 minutes. and I think I've persevered. But that's not what our brothers and sisters have had to do, right? And then there's resilience in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. As Paul speaks about those who have been justified by faith and have peace with God, he then says, and more than that having rejoiced in the hope of the glory of God, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Not enough just to suffer, but it's knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us And when he speaks about this endurance, you could use the word, and is sometimes translated resilience, that ability to bounce back and to carry on. I'm sure in your ministry, Chris, there have been times of discouragement. Yet here you are today in 2025, continuing to trumpet the gospel and to give people opportunity to herald their messages to the church. Resilience, Isaiah 40. We love Isaiah chapter 40. Those who wait on the Lord will what? Your listeners know. Will renew their strength. They shall mount up on like on wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. And so that's ministering with grit. And then finally, with passion. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about having zeal for the house of God. Romans 12, verse 11, says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord." And so, yes, grit is, we say to young men, be men of courage, men of conscientiousness, men of perseverance. You've got decades ahead of you, young man. We want you to persevere. What does Bill Crispin say? Bill Shishko. He says, press on, right? Persevere. Resilience means to bounce back and endure. And don't flag in zeal. Let zeal for the house of God that consumed Jesus, let it consume you.
And we have to go to our final break. Don't go away. We'll be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Welcome back. And please don't ever forget, folks, that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury anywhere in the United States, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT or visit 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, we have a listener in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, named Seth, who has a question for you. What are some things a pastor with a young family should think about when considering the call to a new church?
Wow, that's a great question. If I hear you correctly, you're saying, what should a man with a young family think about when considering a call to a new church? I would say, first of all, what is the status of the health of the church to which you are called? And I say that because if the church is relatively healthy, then you feel a sense of safety in bringing your family, especially your children, into the life of that church. If the church is unhealthy in general, and it's going to require a great rebuilding of character and of vision and a new and gospel-driven philosophy of ministry, and if there's been a lot of rancor and gossip, then that's going to be hard for your children to grow up in, and I think should be taken into consideration. So with a young family, I would definitely say church health is important. Secondly, if they're going to you need to know whether they'll require you to be a tent maker or not. Can they afford you? And that's between you and the leadership of that team. And then I think third is, are there other children in the life of the church? It's not a deal breaker, but if there are not children in the life of the church, then you're going to have your work cut out for you to build a children's ministry. And again, it's not insurmountable, especially if there are kids' clubs in other churches or if there are youth ministries elsewhere. But those things are, when they are not in the church to which you are called, make the transition much harder for your family. So that's my from-the-hip answer to that. Chris, do you have any additional thoughts?
Nope, but we have time for one more question from an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, what counsel do you have to develop discernment in the mind of a young pastor to know how to separate primary from secondary and tertiary issues? What are the things that we should have hills to die upon and rather than making mountains out of molehills?
Oh, my. That is a great question. And I know Chris is giving me, you have 90 seconds to answer that question, which is complex. It is a complex question. But I would say that young pastors tend to die on secondary and tertiary issues, and that death is often ugly. And so I would study that issue. First, matters of 1 Corinthians 15. What are the matters of first importance? That Christ died, the necessity of the atonement and the sufficiency of the atonement are matters to die for. The authority and inspiration of God's word matters to die on. And then if you're in a connectional church, you know, talk that over, get the counsel of others in your presbytery or your association of churches. I would say that that's very important in discerning what are secondary or tertiary issues and not worth dying on. Yeah, in the context of your own situation, I would definitely get the counsel of others and find wisdom in their counsel. But I do see young men willing to die on hills that they don't need to die on.
Yeah. And we could do a whole 2-hour show on that one, but we have run out of time. I want to thank you so much because I loved every second of the interview. I look forward to having you back on the program. And I'm assuming that I should just allow our listeners, if they want to get in contact with you, to email me, but unless you want to provide other public information, but they can do that.
You can send it at first. If you have follow-up, you just forward it to me, Chris. I'd appreciate that.
Well, I want to thank everyone who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.